Good morning, church. How you doing this morning? Man, it's a gift to be with you. You know, Scripture tells us that just as the body has many parts, but it's still one body, so it is with the body of Christ. And so that means the church. And so that means each, though we're individuals, right, as many of us, but together we are one. So truly, it matters that you're here this morning. It matters that you're here this morning. We're not the same without you. And here we are at part 7. Of a 7-part series in the path of a disciple, right? We've been going through the discipleship pathway, this one verse, 3 lifestyles, 6 habits, 12 ongoing actions that somehow are designed to lay in each of us a foundation for lifestyles of worship, community, and mission. Why? Because a disciple of Jesus embodies a lifestyle of worship, community, and mission. And we believe that ongoing actions form habits, and the habits we emphasize become a way of life, and hopefully that way of life is the life of Christ in us. And so we've been throwing up this slide each week that you all can barely read or maybe can't read at all, and I don't know if that's going to change today, but you're going to get a closer look because we're going to put the discipleship pathway in your hand. So ushers, if you please, let's hand these out. All right, just pass them around. So if you know Shepherd Smith, I don't know if you do, but if you know him, he just designs stuff in his sleep, and this is one of those things. Nobody asked him to do it. He did, and then Yehai Yam helped to finalize it, and then the programming team helped put it to production. But this is important, right? This is the what of the discipleship pathway. This is the what. This is the content of this whole series in your hands. But what have we said? The what of discipleship doth not a disciple maketh. It needs to be combined with the how. Thank you. The what plus the how is how we make disciples. Who remembers the how? The H stands for? Hear from God, right? You can't follow someone unless you're hearing from them, and you can hear from God. And the O stands for what? Obey God, because we're hearing from God, but if we're not obeying Him, we're not following Him. And then what's the W stand for? With others. The how is hear from God, obey God with others, because witness is witness. And so the what plus the how is where we make disciples of Jesus Christ. And in that way, the world changes. But what's the why? Well, the why is right here in front of you. 2 Corinthians 5:15. I'd love for you to read it with me on the count of 3. And let's read it loud. 1, 2, 3. Jesus died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ who died and was raised for them. All right. Well done. That's the word of the Lord in your mouth and on your lips. Jesus died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ who died and was raised for them. We live differently because Jesus overcame sin when he died for us and forgave us and paid for our sin. And he overcame the grave when he rose from the dead so that we can live a new kind of life too, an indestructible and resurrected life. Today's going to be fun. Before we go any further, let's pray. Father, you speak and worlds are made. You speak and lives change. Speak in our midst and begin something new this day. Give us eyes for King Jesus to follow him and to help others and each other follow him. Make that our highest call in this world, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So last week, Jay brought to us the first habit under the mission lifestyle, right? The mission lifestyle is missions living sent. And as disciples of Jesus, we love our neighbors. That's what Jay talked about this last week. And this week, my message is super simple. It's that second habit. As disciples of Jesus, we make disciples of Jesus. As disciples of Jesus, we make disciples of Jesus. So in a few moments, we're going to talk about what that looks like a little bit more, but I really want us to get the why. And so we're going to get into some scripture that has some teeth in it, but first I want to share a couple of quotes for you from someone that this has impacted my life. These come from a man named Mike Breen, who wrote a book called Building a Discipling Culture. The first quote is this. Christianity is concerned with the unfolding of the kingdom of God in the world, not with the longevity of organizations. Christianity is concerned with the unfolding of the kingdom of God in the world, not with the longevity of organizations. The second thing he says is this: if you make disciples, you always get the church. But if you make a church, you rarely get disciples. If you make disciples, you always get the church. But if you make a church, you rarely get disciples. And I don't know if those words stir conviction in you, but they stir conviction in me. It's like a firebrand against my soul. Because I've heard stories from people and denominations that had a lot of money that wanted to plant churches. And so they did the research, they got the data, and they found out, well, you need this kind of facility, and you need this kind of team, and you need this kind of speaker, and you need this kind of worship band, and this type of child care. And then people will come in droves, and this is how much money you need in startup costs, and this is where you need to be located. But then they would send teams out with all of those things until all the resources went away and the church failed. The reason is because there is one way to plant a church, and it's with the gospel of Jesus Christ and making disciples, helping people follow him. There's lots of ways to do that. But if you have all those other things and you don't have the gospel and discipleship, the church will not last. And this stirs me because I help to lead an organization that has properties that we have to steward and manage well, that has budgets we have to think about, that has human resources. And we have all those things for a reason, because we want to help mobilize. We want to help create a space where people can go out into the campus and in the city and share the gospel and make disciples. But lest we forget, these walls and this carpet are not the church. You are the church. I am the church. We are the church. And whether or not the kingdom of God stands doesn't depend upon these walls. It depends upon whether or not the proclamation of the king is in our mouths, on our lips, and if we have decided to follow him and help others follow him. If we are going to build a discipling culture here at New Life, if a disciple-making movement is going to break out in our midst, there's four shifts I see that have to happen. One is from programs to the presence of God in our lives. These things aren't mutually exclusive. It's about emphasis. A shift from programs to the presence of God in our lives. Are we people that when we go away from the program, go out carrying the presence of God with us, hearing his voice, obeying him, and doing that with one another? And so that's the second thing, with one another. Can we move from independence to togetherness? Right? That we're not just coming here to take in a service, let's say, and go out and live our private life as a follower of Jesus. What would it look like for us to say, no, we need one another. We need help following Jesus, and we're here to help others follow Jesus, and that witness is witness. That takes a high level of intentionality, and that's the third thing, a move from incidental to intentional. The things on this card are so simple. And for so many of you, you're doing these things incidentally as you go about your life, and that's wonderful, that's good, but we want to go more intentional. Because what if we didn't just, oh yeah, I did some stuff on there, but what if we stopped each day and we paused and we asked God, what would you have me do today, Father? Knowing that Jesus did what he saw his Father doing, can we stop and do the same? What do you want us to do, God? Hear and obey, and to do that with one another. And the last shift is from Sundays to always. I understand the utility in this phrase, but it still kind of drives me nuts when my kids say, hey, are we going to church on Sunday, Dad? I want to give like a sermonette, which never goes over well with kids. But like, right? Like, I want to be like, no, we are not. We are going to service on Sunday. But we are the church on Sunday, and we're the church on Monday, and on Tuesday, and on Wednesday, and Thursday, and Friday, but not, just kidding, also Saturday. Also Saturday, from Sundays to always, can we be the church in the world? So let's get into some scripture. Jesus, King Jesus, says this to the apostles, to his disciples. He says, peace be with you. Just as the Father sent me, so am I also sending you. Just as the Father sent me, so am I also sending you. This is why mission is living sent. Apostolos in the Greek means sent ones. So we get apostles from sent ones. But when that was translated into the Latin Vulgate Bible, it was translated as missio, where we get mission and missionary. A missionary is a sent ones. We are sent ones. You are sent in West Quad. You are sent on the Hill and in South Quad and in East Quad. You're sent in Bursley and on North Campus. You're sent in North Quad. You're sent in off-campus housing and in your apartments. Graduates, you're sent in your jobs, mothers and fathers. You're sent at home and at work. Middle schoolers, high schoolers, you are sent in your classrooms and in your sports teams and among your friends. You are sent. And you must know by whom and for what purpose, or else you won't be living out your destiny in that place. So who is sending us? Jesus. Sometimes we point to Philippians 2 to talk about Jesus, and we read most of it, right? We'll say, like, well, your attitude should be like that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. So what did he do? He emptied himself of his divine privileges. He became like one of us, became a servant, became obedient to death, even death on a cross. And we can say, isn't that beautiful? Jesus is so humble, and he gave his life for us, and we're right, that's true. But we don't always keep reading. It says, therefore, God has exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Who is Jesus? Jesus is the King. The one who sent us is the reigning King. And so when we share the gospel with others, we're not just saying, hey, we believe some stuff. You want to believe it too? We're saying, a new king has conquered and sits on his throne. Do you want to follow him? Because now everything is going to change. This is evangelism. It's telling someone who God is, who Jesus is, what he's done, and how he's impacting our life. This is a part of making disciples, telling someone who Jesus is, what he's done, and how he is impacting our life. He's the King. He laid down his life for us. He overcame sin and the grave, and now he is enthroned. His name is above every name, and we will all bow to him in the end. But do you want to bow to him now and live differently with me? This is evangelism, and it comes from the Greek word evangelion, which just means good news. But when that word was written in Scripture, the way it was primarily used was to proclaim a military victory and a conquering king has taken the throne. We cannot make disciples unless we speak about this king. So some of you, maybe you're ready. Like, you, I wanna tell people about who Jesus is. But you just don't know how. You need help. I just want to tell you, if that's the only thing holding you back, I will personally tell you how you can share the gospel. There's people around you who know how to share the gospel. There's lots of ways to share the gospel and would love to help you. A New Life team leader, a small group leader, someone on staff here, a home group, one of our community members. Learn it together. But maybe it's not that. Maybe you know how to share the gospel, but there's fear that's holding you back, right? You're afraid to share it because you're afraid, what if I offend someone or they reject me? Well, let me encourage you with this. I mean, first of all, that makes total sense. I don't know if that's encouraging, but it's scary to face those things. But when someone rejects the gospel or offended by it, they're rejecting Jesus. It's normal for people to be offended by Jesus. So they might be offended by you if you're really unkind or mean to them. But I'm saying apart from that, someone could still be offended by Jesus and the gospel. But the Lord loves to take what little we offer and multiply it. I remember this story of a student that was being trained to share the gospel, and he was just super nervous. He didn't feel super confident in his words, but he had set up a time with this other guy in his class to share the gospel, and he gets to that time, and he sits down, and he takes out a pen and paper, and he begins to kind of write some things on a paper, and he's talking as he goes, and it was super discombobulated. It's like, oh, there's God and this, you know, people, but people are like sinful, and there's, and then like Jesus, and you know, it's just like, okay, where's this going? But then he's stumbling through, and then he just starts to recite John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And then the guy sitting across from him just hung his head and started to weep. It was just like, just waiting to hear the word of God. And the second he heard it, he started to weep and decided to follow Jesus. God loves to take that small bit of faith, that small effort, and change the world with it. But maybe it's not that you don't know how to share the gospel. Maybe you're not afraid. Maybe there's something else that's keeping you. Maybe it's like I just don't like it. It's just morally, ethically, I don't like trying to tell someone that my truth is the truth, that Jesus is king above all else, and that every knee's going to bow to him. Maybe I just don't like saying that because, you know, what if they have their own worldview too? And look, I'm not talking about forcing what you believe on someone, but there are spiritually interested people interested in spiritual things and also interested in you enough to know what you believe and hear it in a respectful way. And if still, even then, you're unwilling to share that because something's bad about sharing the gospel with that person, then what I would say to you is that some other narrative is bigger that you believe that is judging the gospel. You believe something bigger than the gospel by which you're judging that, and I would say, go propagate that. Go share that with the world. But if not, if that's where you're at, I would say, really wrestle with why you'd ever want to be a part of a church. Because we know why we're here. We are here to proclaim King Jesus and to help people follow him, even as we attempt to follow him. Because Jesus is the hope of the world and all of humanity. And by all means, if you think something else is more of a hope, man, people need to hear that. But I haven't found anything better or bigger. Let's tell people who Jesus is, what he's done, and how he is impacting our life. Here's the second thing under making disciples of Jesus. Start doing these actions with someone else. Start doing these actions with someone else. You guys, the whole discipleship pathway hinges upon this ongoing action. This points back over all of the mission, community, and worship ongoing actions and lifestyles and habits. It's like, look, we're never done. This isn't a list we just kind of check the marks on the box and hopefully my church is proud of me or God is proud of me. It's like, no, we want to see Christ alive in us, formed in us. And so we walk through these things and like, man, let's start doing this with someone, with someone, with someone. You know what's really cool about this is it doesn't have to just be with other believers. Like, you could tell someone that doesn't know Jesus or doesn't believe in Jesus, hey, I'm walking a discipleship pathway trying to learn how to follow Jesus. It's pretty practical, but there's a lot of room to experiment with it. Do you want to see what it's like to follow Jesus with me? Then eventually you're going to come around to the worship lifestyle to we remain in the gospel, and someone's going to be like, what's that? And then you get to tell them who Jesus is, what he's done, and how he's impacting your life. And as far as I know, at least one person in our community has already come to know Jesus that way. How powerful, how beautiful, how amazing. Start doing these things, these actions with someone else is like a big, emblazoned, fat, red letter, go! Go! There are churches, if you listen, that the primary message is, please stay. Please don't leave. Stay here. That will never be our church. There are churches that say, please come. Come and see. We want to invite you. Please come and see. And sometimes that will be our church, inviting someone to see something. But our heartbeat is to say, please, go! Go in your homes. Go in your places of work. Go in your dorms and apartment buildings. Go in the city of Ann Arbor. Go on this campus because the world needs to know who the king is. And in that way, relationships change, marriages change, businesses change, organizations change, lives change, and the world changes when they come to know the love of Jesus and live differently. Jesus, after he was raised from the dead, he came to his disciples and he said, "All authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all that I've commanded you." And sometimes we stop there. Sometimes we stop there. It's like, all right, let me go do this. And we forget that witness is witness. Who's going to go with us? Jesus keeps going. "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." He's with us. He is with us in our going. And so here we are at the end of a sermon, at the end of a series. And sometimes we end there. What if we didn't? What if we didn't? What if you took what was in your hands and you woke up every day and you decided, "I'm not going to be tossed around, bounced around like a pinball on the flippers and pegs of life, but I'm going to sit on my knees and ask God to speak to me and believe that he does, and I'm going to hear and I'm going to respond. And I'm going to invite others into it so that I can follow him and have others follow him, because there's nothing better that I can give my life to." And so we commit to that intentionality, and we move from programming to the presence of God. We move from independence to togetherness, and we move from incidental to intentional, and we move from Sundays to always, and the kingdom breaks out in our midst and breaks out on the campus and breaks out in Ann Arbor and in Michigan and in the world. You see it. What if we were a people who confessed and repented of sin and received God's grace, who were being renewed every day through the Spirit, through Scripture and prayer, who were sharing our lifetime possessions with one another so that no one was in need? And what if whenever there was a rift between us, we decided, no, nothing but the Holy Spirit and the gospel of Jesus Christ is going to come between me and my brother and sister, so I'm going to forgive and I'm going to apologize to resolve a conflict and live at peace. And I don't come here just to hear stuff from a guy with a mic. I come here because I have gifts that the Holy Spirit has placed within me, and I'm going to use them to build up the church in love today. And what if we didn't just stay at home? We went outside, out of our way, to get to know the people outside the church. To go out of our way to love a friend outside the church. To show someone what love looks like, and to be willing, as God makes a way, to tell someone who Jesus is, what he's done, and how he's impacting our life. So here we stand at the beginning of the discipleship pathway, and the only question left is, who wants to start walking? I'm going. Will you come with me?